Welcome to Westport Road Baptist Church. We're delighted that you've joined us for today's message. Westport Road Baptist Church is located at the corner of Hurstbourne Lane and Westport Road in Louisville, Kentucky. If you have a Bible, please have it handy and prepare your hearts and minds as we enter God's Word.
Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Thank you.
Is going to come and lead us in a responsive reading and lead us in our prayer.
Heart cries is what we've been talking about all through the Psalms, and we're about to read is something that I'll start and you'll respond and we'll go back and forth, and it's basically a compilation of verses from the Psalms where people were honest before the Lord and said what was really on their hearts. We talk about the Spirit of the Lord being here, and there's a miracle that happens. I believe there's also a miracle that happens when we're honest with Him. And He can handle our emotions. He can handle our heart cries. As scary as they may be to us, I think there's something powerful when we come together and read our how longs to the Lord. Join me. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long, Lord? How long? How long, Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their ravages, my precious life from these lions. How long, Lord? How long? How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? How long will your jealousy burn like fire? How long, Lord? How long? How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? How long, Lord? How long? How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? How long? How long? How long, Lord, will the wicked, how long will the wicked be jubilant? How long, Lord? How long? How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, so many of us sit with how long questions. God, we wait and we wonder where you are, and we need you to come and to save us. Lord, so many of us sit with those questions, and if we're not there ourselves, God, we know someone who is, and our hearts break for them, and we sit and we say, how long? So Lord God, today as we sit in that, it's uncomfortable. God, it's not always fun, but we pray that when you come, when we're honest and we say how long, Lord, that we would have ears to hear your response, that we would have eyes to see you coming over the hilltop, Lord, in a way that only you can do. So, Lord, today, God, meet us in our pit and pull us out. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. That was awesome. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Hope you sense the presence of the Lord here. As we wrap up what has been, I think, a very meaningful series on heart cries, as we've been looking at Lamentations from the book of Psalms. I'm going to invite you to do something a little different this morning. If you'll pull out your cell phone, if you have it with you, and we're going to do a little congregational response involving your cell phone, and there's going to be my number up here that's in the back, and we just want to invite you to text a lament or a question that you might like to ask God. What is a question you'd like God to answer about your life? Okay, we're going to display a few of these anonymously, so we're not displaying your name or anything like that. How could this person believe that? That's not the point of our series. The point is to say that we actually have a way that we can lament and ask questions for God. I think one of the interesting things about our time together has been to realize that the people around us are actually struggling. It's not just me. I'm not the only one who thinks through these things. And so during the course of the message, that's also in your worship folder, if you want to text in kind of a lament, a question, I know we've heard a lot from people just questioning, God, why is this happening in my life? Why am I going through that? So that can be a response today during our message. There was a school that was starting a medical school. They were adding a medical school, and they had all the doctors and professors around the table. And they got into a debate about what constitutes major surgery. So at this medical school, what constitutes major surgery? So some were saying heart surgery, and others were arguing for brain surgery, and some were going through the different kinds of surgery, replacements, and all of this. And the discussion went on and wasn't seemingly ending until the oldest doctor in the room spoke up. And he said, any surgery that's done to me is major. Any surgery that's done to me is major. And you know, that's true a lot when it comes to lament and when it comes to loss. We may think about the person who lost their spouse or the person who lost their job, and we think, you know what, that's a major loss. But the truth is that any loss that happens to us is a major loss. So instead of trying to dismiss the losses that are going on in our life, we need to simply admit them, acknowledge them, and to go forward with them. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Psalm chapter 137. It's a psalm you may have never heard a sermon about due to the last verse, and we'll get to it later. But it's a psalm that I think beautifully and powerfully and emotionally captures the power of lament. The children of Israel, you remember, were carried off to Babylon. Judah, the bottom two tribes, were carried off to Babylon and were put into exile. And here they find themselves in exile, removed from the promised land that God had given to them. And they find themselves completely at a loss for their homeland, their way of life, their way of worship. The temple's been destroyed. And suddenly they find themselves in exile. Let's read verses 1 through 3 from Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Man, you see a minority of people here that's finding their way of life completely removed, and they say, no, you want us to sing a song of joy from Zion. How can we do that? By the rivers we sat and we wept because of what we had lost. See, here's the truth. We lament the walls in our lives. We lament the walls in our lives. Anytime that we have a loss in our life, it produces a wall that we can no longer cross, that we can no longer go to. If it's a loss of job, I can't cross anymore into that sense of livelihood. That's been a cut off. There's been a wall that's been placed here. Think about the power of death, that at death someone has died, and it's like this wall has blocked off this loved one that I can no longer experience life, what that looks like with that person. There's been a wall. Well, there was a new movie came out this weekend that tried to explain the power of a wall. It actually is called The Great Wall. Did you hear about this movie? Starring Matt Damon. Can't read that. It says 1,700 years to build. This was the Great Wall in China. 5,500 miles long. What were they trying to keep out? You might have heard it was the Huns, but no, actually, it's monsters in this movie. Spoiler alert, it's monsters. But the people in China, according to the movie, they were trying to keep out something they were very afraid of, and so they built this wall. You know, I saw that happen one time when I was a hospital chaplain. I got called into this lady's room. She requested to see a chaplain. I built a relationship with her, and I started talking with her. And I asked her, well, you know, I was just asking pastoral questions. I was asking things that were going on in her life and in her world. And we built this relationship, and she got to the point when she said, if you knew what happened in my past, I would have to kill myself. Oh, wow. Well, of course, in that moment, you think through the pastoral care lens, you think through the legality lens, you think through of all these different lenses. And I assured her, I said, you never have to feel obligated to share what happened in your past. So we ended the conversation, and I came in the next day, and she came back up to this wall that she had built to keep out what had happened in her childhood away from her. But she came back to it, and she wanted to come, and she decided to share, and she shared the trauma from her childhood, no fault of her own, and she started sobbing and saying, now I have to kill myself. I have to kill myself. I say, back up a minute. It's not your fault. And in that moment of when she came to her wall, she let it down. She actually experienced acceptance, and she realized that it wasn't her fault. But for her, she had a wall that had been built for 46 years of her life that she'd never let anyone inside that wall. But in that hospital room, she discovered grace and mercy as she began to lament, this is what happened to me. We build walls to keep out things that we are afraid of and things we're scared of in our internal life. You know, the same is true in our society. I don't know if you heard the news, but in the shadow of our steeple this week, this was actually a picture from a national news story. You actually can see our new parking lot entrance. You see it on the bottom left? We got the word on Tuesday that there had been a car accident, a fatality car accident, and they were rerouting traffic through our parking lot. And we couldn't figure out why would there be a fatality car accident right at our intersection. And it didn't look like there was even a bad car wreck. And come to find out that the heroin epidemic struck really close to the shadow of our steeple. And three gentlemen were in a car, and all three had overdosed. And the driver died, as gratefully he wasn't driving fast, bumped into the car in front of him. The other person, they rushed to the hospital, and the third person fled from the scene. But over the course of a four-day period in our city, 151 overdoses of heroin made complete national news as our city, our community is at the forefront of this heroin epidemic in our country. My college roommate texted me last night. He's from Southern Kentucky, and he said, hey, I need you to pray for my brother. He's in ICU right now due to an overdose. His brother was brilliant. He was a governor scholar. He had so much potential and future. But the wall for him, he hit the wall that was drug addiction. And for him, he can't get past it. And now he's fighting for his life in ICU. There's so many places in our community that we hit the wall of things that God calls us to lament. God calls us to lament. I'll tell you the story. I one time was leading a mission trip in Romania. If you're familiar with the dynamics of Romania, but they have Romanians and they have the Roma people, the gypsy population, you might have heard them referred to. And there, over the course of the week, we were working with the Roma population. We were serving them food, and Roma kids can't be in the schools with the normal Romanian kids. And so we go into the public schools, and they invited us in to share with it what we're doing. And the teacher was translating. We said, We're here doing this. We're here working with orphans. And we said, we're working with the Roma population. And she stopped. She'd been translating, but she stopped. She looked at us, and she said in English, why would you do that? And she refused to translate to her class that we were there serving the Roma population. And for them, there was this impact, this wall that come up that said, no, these children don't have access to their schools. They shouldn't have access to what's around us. And so we bump up against their wall. I'll tell you quickly the story of Basram. I was in the West Bank, and I wanted to go there because Christians are really struggling there. They're down below 10% of the population of Bethlehem, which traditionally used to be closer to 100% Christians. And there they were There they were struggling, and I met Busram, and Busram, a Palestinian Christian with a New Zealand accent. I said, where does that come from? My frame of reference is just completely blown. And he said, this is my grandfather's shop since the 1930s, but we're being forced out, and it's so hard, and we're at sunset. And this picture was taken from the top of Busram's store, my favorite picture I've ever taken. They're overlooking Bethlehem at sunset. And Busram's checking his security cameras every 10 seconds. The week before, he had just been robbed. And he's there saying, I'm going to stand, even though it's difficult. I'm going to stick to my faith, and I'm going to stand here in this land. And for Busram, I told him, and I said, Busram, I can't take you beyond the wall. This was the wall he lived inside of. I said, Busram, I can't take you beyond the wall, but I promise to take your story beyond the wall. Do we have that picture, that slide, the next one? This was the picture of the wall inside of which he lived. You know what's interesting, and I just want to name this for a moment. I got 2-3 weeks into this sermon and on lament, and it didn't even dawn on me that the image of a wall right now is like a very politicized, like you're going to fail if you just mention that, and things are going to erupt and bombs are going to go off inside this church because of the political impact that it hits. But let me just name this for a second. We lament due to a wall, right? Either we feel a loss of national identity, loss of security, and we feel this image of a wall that really matters. And for others, it feels like when it comes to being a country of immigrants and things like that, we hit this image of a wall and it feels like a loss. So both sides, regardless of where we're at in this country, we feel a sense of loss and we hit this. But we got several weeks into this, just this image of wall was really speaking to me when it came to our personal life. But I started thinking of some stories from my past that it kind of carried that I just wanted to share, that we lament the walls in our society that we bump up in our lives. So here comes the question that God, I think, asked to us this morning. We've talked about drug addiction. We've talked about the loss of what things have done to us and what things people have done to you. What's the wall right now that you're bumping up against in your life? What's the wall that you feel like you just can't get beyond? Is it the loss of job? Is it the loss of spouse? Is it depression? Is it emotional? What's that wall that when you feel like I'm just stuck behind and I can't get beyond it? In your bulletin, there's a spot to respond if you want to write down what is that wall that you're facing now. See, lament is asking questions. It's asking tough questions. Jacqueline and I, for parents of young children, we have this game sometimes we play. Who can get asked the most questions by a kid in a short amount of time? And Jacqueline got close to the record this week when she was driving one of our children for a 5-minute drive, and she got asked 27 questions about the Queen of England. And I said, did the Queen of England, like, come up on the radio? Nope, he brought it up on his own and asking how she was this old and would there be a queen, would there be a king next, and how did the queen become the queen and all this stuff. Like, we are hardwired as children to learn to ask tough questions. But sometimes when we become an adult and sometimes when it comes to our faith in God, we feel like we cannot ask God tough questions. And that's not true. If you walk away from anything with this feeling that you can, if you walk away with anything from the series, our hope is that you realize, I can ask God tough questions. There was a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations, Lament, where the people say, God, why was the temple destroyed? Why are we in exile? God invites us to ask tough questions. God invites us to ask tough questions. You see, the word lament comes from the Hebrew word lama, which simply means why, how, what. It's just simply a word that's asking a question. Why? Why did this happen? What's going on? How's this going to turn out? How long, oh Lord? And so to lament means simply to ask tough questions. Earlier in the sermon, we asked for you to text in some of your questions. Let's see some of what came up from us today. Why don't you show me your will for my life? That feels the wall. I can't figure it out, Lord. I'm sure trying. Why don't you show me your will for my life? What else we got? How long before I can forget my past choices or at least find joy despite them? What's that wall? Joy's beyond the wall and I just can't get to it. What else we have? So in this, you know, there was another one that I had earlier in hospital chaplaincy. God, why did my loved one die? Why did my loved one die? Or this one on the cancer wing. Why do I have cancer? Like, God, I'm a good person. I've lived a good life. Like, why? How long should I face disappointment when I'm doing my very best? That feeling of the wall behind there, I'm doing my best, God, but I keep just hitting the wall and I can't seemingly get past it. We all bump up against the wall, and this is where lament kicks in. Because what happens is when we ever hit a wall in our lives that it feels like there's loss or unanswered questions, God invites us. God, how long? Why is this going on in my life? God invites you to ask those tough questions. And finally, let's do this one. God, why did you create me with anxiety and depression? You know, we've been talking a lot about mental illness. 25% of our population is considered clinically depressed, meaning that it's not a fault of their own. It is simply a chemical imbalance. So if I am battling through clinically depression, God, why did you create me like this? Like, you can do anything. Why? And the questions go on and on and on. But you get the sense that when we gather on a Sunday, these are the questions that we bring. And if you ever feel like, well, we've got it all together and everything's worked out and all the questions unanswered, then you're mistaken, because we don't. But we are a community that laments together. We're a community that celebrates baptisms together, rejoices together. But we're a community also that is broken in need of God's grace. Psalm chapter 22, verse 1. Jesus later quotes this in on the cross. But here in this famous psalm, the psalmist says, my God, why have you abandoned me? I have cried desperately for help, but still it does not come. They quote the Aramaic in the New Testament, Eli, Eli, lama, from the word lament. Why? For me, the season when I really learned to question God was after I just graduated seminary. I'd came and left a community that we loved in Tulsa. We came to Louisville. I go to seminary. The expectation is you'll go to seminary, you'll get a great job, you'll kind of continue on. But suddenly after seminary, due to our foster care case going on for 3.5 years, we can't move out of state. It's very tough to find a job here in Louisville for the season where we were at. And I find myself jobless. I find that this money that Jack and I had worked so hard to save is now dwindled, and now we're starting to incur credit card debt. And I'm like, God, we are here serving you. We are here sacrificing for you. And suddenly, God, it feels like we've hit this wall that we can't get beyond. Like, it is not hard for you to create a position for me, but I can't figure out why, God. I'd understand if I made a bad decision or if I went away from you, but God, I've sought to be faithful to you. Why? Do you know what that season of lament did for me? We fear that if we question God, it's going to create distance away from God. But actually, when I pour out my lament, it brings me closer to God. It was like once I emptied myself of all these questions and complaints and anger toward God, he could begin to fill me back up. But as long as I hold on to my questions, my anger, my fear, then I can't move beyond it. That creates space and distance from God. When I lament and share, God, this is how I really feel, then that is what creates space and place to encounter God. Let's read verses 4 through 6 of Psalm 137. They said this, how can we sing a song to the Lord in a foreign land? May I never be able to play the harp again if I forget you, Jerusalem. May I never be able to sing again if I do not remember you. If I do not think of you as my greatest joy. The psalmist asked the question, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? That was their lament. How can we do that? They don't know the answer to that. And as we wrap up our series on heart cries, you know, it'd be nice to say, lament, yep, we had the 6-week series and now we're all finished. We're all completely healed. All our questions are answered. All our anxieties are gone and we're done and we're moving beyond it and we're going back to our happy place. But some laments aren't answered in 6 weeks. Some laments aren't answered in a lifetime. Some of our laments take much longer than that. Take much longer than that. The psalmist goes into the last portions of Psalm 137. He says this in verse 7. He says, "Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you've done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks." What book am I reading here? I thought we were reading the Bible. Happy is the one who smashes them against a rock. Lord, have mercy. What are we reading here? This is in your Bible. And this is a troubling verse to feel like, wait a minute. And here's the crazy part. This is where the psalm ends. And this is why you don't hear me in any sermons. The psalm ends on that last statement. Who takes your babies and smashes them against a rock. These are some of the most difficult verses in Scripture and why you don't hear many responses on it. Yet I believe it is instructive. It doesn't put a nice bow on our grief or sorrow. Sometimes we tell people, oh, you shouldn't feel a certain way. You should be happy. No, that breakup you had in your life, that was like 3 months ago. You should be all better now. Or we tell people, you know, that person died 2 years ago and you should be better now. But here this psalm ends on this moment of pain and of wanting retribution. Some people have used this last verse, verse 9, to say the God of the Old Testament is a God of violence, and I don't want anything to do with this God, and it's just further evidence for that. Be gone. Some people read this verse, verse 9, and they say, but we read through the eyes of Jesus, which we do. God doesn't want retribution. We are called to love, to turn the other cheek. And that's true. But part of what I want to do is just sit with this verse and honor their emotion and their feelings, that they had watched their own infants die. They had watched their own struggle. They had gone through their own loss. And here in the psalm, they're just saying, this is how we feel. None of us would say this is right. This activity would be right. But here the psalmist instructs us the truth that lament is raw and lament is real. Lament is raw and lament is real. It's not a nice bow. It's not a pretty moment. It's not this, yeah, I've got it all figured out. My life just looks so put together. No, when we lament before God, we point and we say, God, this is how I feel. It may not be right. I don't understand it, but God, this is just the stuff of my heart and my life. But what we do so often is we just say, oh, I should feel this way. Oh, this doesn't look nice or pretty. But as long as we do that, that actually puts up a barrier, puts up a wall to experiencing God. To experiencing God. There was a lady here in town in Louisville, and she had a 5-year-old and a young child, and sadly, the young child died. She was a believer, a follower of Jesus, who's now facing the loss of her baby. And a few weeks later, she had went out with a couple of her friends, and she began to ask her friends, God, why did God do this to me? What did this baby ever do? God really didn't need another angel. And she began to ask the why questions, and she did it for 2.5 hours, and she's driving home on the Watterson. When she began to think about her 5-year-old son and a conversation they had just had, and he had asked to have a sleepover at his friend's house that night, and he said, can I sleep over at my friend's house? And she said, no. And he said, why? She said, well, we've already got plans. Well, why? Well, because I don't really know those parents. Well, why? Well, because I said we couldn't do it. Yeah, I know, but why? And she started thinking about her son's questioning of why. And as the tears began to pour down her face, she pulled off to the shoulder of the road and she started slamming her hand against the steering wheel. And she said, God, I don't want to know why. I just want my baby back. That's lament. That's lament. Not pretty. Simply real. We don't have it all put together. But that's lament. And that's the kind of relationship that God invites us to. He takes you seriously enough that you can actually tell him how you feel. And God doesn't just throw you away. He doesn't send you to hell. That actually communicates and draws him close to you when we say, God, this is how I feel. The other point, when I was in Jerusalem, we got the chance to go to the Wailing Wall. Wailing Wall is a place for the Jews where they look over at the Dome of the Rock, which is one of Islam's most holy sites, and this is the Jewish most holy site. And the Temple Mount used to be beyond the wall, but they can no longer have access to that. So they go to the wall, the Wailing Wall, and they point themselves to where they used to be able to go, to where they used to offer their sacrifices, and there they offer their lament, their prayer. People write their notes, put it in the wall. And this image is helpful for us. Where's your Wailing Wall? Where's the place that you can go and to voice your lament to God? Is it a journal? Is it a note message on your phone? To give your voice to say, God, why? God, how long? God, move. God, please show up. I need you. I need you. In your worship folder today, there is a sheet of paper. And it simply says prayers of lament. Prayers of lament. We're going to invite you to write your lament out to the Lord during this next song. And when you're done with your prayer of lament, simply come forward. And we're going to make our own little Wailing Wall. You just slide it through like that. That this to be a symbol for us. That God, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? I'm going to invite those in a minute who have been praying over the course of this series to be along the corner, that when you put your lament into the wall, if you'd like to pray with someone, we're here to pray with you. We stand with you in your brokenness. We stand with you in your questions, because we know this, God also stands with you. Let's pray. How long, O Lord? How long? I pray that in this space, that in this moment, that in this questions, that in our struggles, that as we voice our lament to you, that you would come, that you would meet with us, that you would bring healing, that you would bring wholeness. How long, O Lord? Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Make the space your own as you write your prayers of lament, to come forward to put them up. If you want somebody to pray with you, we're here to pray with you today. I'll invite those who have been praying with those to make their way forward now. Sing this song, and these represent the many laments that we have in our church this morning. You know, as Christians, it says that we mourn, but we don't mourn with those who have no hope. because the truth of the gospel as we make our way to Lenten season and as we look ahead to Easter morning is that Jesus has broke through our greatest wall, which is death. That no matter what injustice, no matter what illness, no matter what grief we lose, we know that Jesus has broken through our wall. And so today we lament, but the good news of the gospel is we lament with hope. If during this last song, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is a great day to do it. We'd love to pray with you. Or if you feel the Lord calling you to become a part of our church family, we welcome you to do that as we sing in hope today.
Representative down at EACM, which stands for Eastern Area Christian Ministries. This is where the food pantry is located at John Knox Presbyterian Church down Westport Road. This is our month to fill the pantry. This is February. We have one more week to go. I want to thank everyone ahead of time for who've already given, but you have one more week to go. And I will tell you in a little bit, you have a challenge from someone in the church. Last quarter, there was over 1,000 first meetings down there, the first visits of a person. Just think about that, 1,000. That is the amount of people in our combined worship services. What if every one of you had to go down there to get food? Just think of that. There were so many, they got the barest of human needs, be it food, personal care items, paper towels, toilet paper, things like that. So think about that. What if every one of us walked down the street to go get food? This is not a handout mission. The first time is your freebie. The second time, they ask you to sign a contract. And this contract is to help you get a new way of life, be it money management, a job, or to get medical assistance in finding doctors, clinics, medicines, whatever. So there is a very large range of services that are offered down there. Again, I want to thank everyone who's already given, but we still have a week to go. The reason we ask for the paper products is because food stamps that most of these people have do not cover these things. They only cover food. Just think about it. When was the last time you said, where's the shampoo? Where's the soap? Where's the toilet paper? This would be very embarrassing. Last week, I had a little one come up to me, Bailey Atcher. Miss Sandy, what can I do? I said, what's your favorite food? Spaghetti. I said, okay. Why don't you bring some pasta and a jar of sauce? You will help feed one family one meal. Can we ask no less? Let us make sure no one in our neighborhood goes hungry, because we are very comfortable. We sit there and say, okay, where are we going to go eat Sunday afternoon? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? But have you ever had to sit and ask yourself, is there food at home to eat? So thank you again. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us in feeding those with physical hunger and need. In doing this so, you're feeding us in our spiritual hunger and needs. In Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.
hope you enjoyed today's lesson and that it spoke to you. If you have prayer needs or want more information about us, we invite you to stop by our website, mywrbc.org, and click on Contact. Please use the word podcast in the subject line. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Keyword, MyWRBC. At Westport Road Baptist Church, we love God and love people. Please join us for Sunday morning service at either 9:30 a.m. or 11 a.m. We also have Sunday school for all ages during both service times. Thanks again for listening, and join us next week for another message from God's Word.